Live from the K-Rod Studios in Stockton, California, K-Rod proudly presents Rod's Planet. That's right, I am Rod, coming to you with the first ever edition of Planet Rod. Each week, I'll be taking 20 minutes to discuss whatever I feel is important to me at the time, so I can do whatever I want, because it's my planet. This week, I'll be talking about customer service, or the lack thereof in this nation, and then I will take 10 minutes, so I'll split this one up, to talk about why diets don't work for me. So, let's get started on this week's edition of Rod's Planet. Let's take a look at customer service. Now, my complaint starts in two places. The first being the DMV, which God knows everybody can't stand. And then the second comes from just customer service in general. Because we're so far removed from the very definition of customer service that it is so annoying. I mean, by definition, customer service means serving the customer, am I right? I mean, you picked your job. And I have sympathy for these people, but in the end, you picked your job. Whether you did it or you were forced to do it, the point is, you're still there. So your job is to serve the customers. So you have to treat every single customer. Now, this is my opinion. This is what I think a customer service rep should be like, because I've had to serve the public for pretty much my entire life. So you have to make sure that that customer feels like he is the most important thing that you are doing at the time. Nothing else should matter ever while you're dealing with that one customer, because not only, you know, he may not be important to you at the time, and that's okay, because for whatever reason you feel like you don't want to pay attention to him, that's fine, but that person is the single most important person at that time, and his problem is so important to him that he needs an answer to it. So by you not answering his question or not solving his problem, you are not doing your job. Therefore, you shouldn't even be working there. You should be flipping burgers at Burger King. No offense to the McDonald's or Burger King employees. You do a very fine job. But, and also, you have a customer service job too, so maybe you don't belong there. But getting back to the point of the DMV. Now, we were at the DMV the other day trying to get an identification card for my girlfriend. Well, this customer service rep at the DMV, she must have dealt with about 15 million ignorant people that day, so I definitely won't put any pressure on her, but we get up there and there's a couple of boxes that weren't checked because they were highlighted and just a little bit of confusion, things that definitely shouldn't send a person over the edge. Well, this girl takes the form, looks at it, and says, "You didn't check the box." Okay, well, you know, you just asked her if this was a replacement ID and she said, "Yeah, how hard is it for you to take your little pin and check the box?" I mean, I understand we were supposed to do it in the first place, but this is not the end of the world and it's not going to, you know, bomb Iraq or something. All it is just a little check mark. So, first of all, that's the, you know, she gives that little snotty remark and then hands the paper back. Well, then she looks at the paper and gives one of those sighs. You know, those sighs that people give when they're thoroughly annoyed, but they just don't want to tell you. You know, the, like, her day was so tough and you should just bow down to her because she's giving you this paper. So then she takes a look at it and she goes through and now you have to sign it. Hands it right back. Just the whole transaction was just so miserable. And I feel sorry for people that have to make it their life's work to make your day miserable because theirs is. And if you're dealing with the public, that shouldn't even be a factor. So, you know, DMV employees, my hat's off to you, but you guys have to realize that your job sucks. Everybody knows it. You know it. But if you're in there, you're in there. So you might as well do your job right. Because if you don't do your job right, then you just hassle a whole bunch of people and stress a whole people day out. And it's just not worth it in the end because you go home miserable. And no one wants to be home with the miserable person. So, and that's just DMV employees. So we'll leave that one alone for right now. And we'll move on to servers now at restaurants. I had a horrible experience with a server the other day, and I'm sure you guys have definitely had the same experience, where, first of all, they take forever to get to your table. You know, this place, I'm not going to name any names to protect the innocent, or the guilty, or whatever they are in this matter, but we were at the table, and it wasn't like this place was crowded, okay? There was, like, us and maybe two other people in the whole entire place. So, we waited for about at least 10 minutes before we even got our water and an initial drink order. Now, in a restaurant like that, that's a long time. I used to work as a server, so I remember the days of, you know, the people walk through the door, and within about a minute and a half, you're supposed to have napkins down, water there, and their drink orders at least taken. So waiting for 10 minutes seems like forever just for water. It's ridiculous. So when she gets to the table, she starts to do the little annoyed look, right? And you know the look like, what are you guys doing here? And all we're doing is wanting to eat lunch, for goodness sakes. We're not there to rob the place. So anyways, she takes our drink orders, and then those take forever to get there. So then she comes back, and then, now, I've been a server. I know there's ups and I know there's downs, and I know there's times when you feel like, you know, you're just kicking the doors or whatever, but you still have to put your game face on, okay? So she comes to take our orders, and I order a number 24 with a substitution, right? Instead of a cheese enchilada, I think I wanted a beef enchilada. So all of a sudden, this becomes like the end of the world, because now it's like, oh my God, I can't do that. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I can't write a number down. You have to order what you want. And I'm like, I want a number 26, but I want a beef enchilada instead of a cheese enchilada. And she says to me, but I can't do that. You have to order what you want. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? She's like, I can't write a number down if you're going to substitute. So I had to point to the lady, substitutions available upon request. And she's like, I know, but I can't order that. So anyways, long story short, she gets to my other friend who also has a substitution, and she does the same thing to him. So she's completely and thoroughly annoyed, and then she comes back again, and I wanted to ask for something, and she all of a sudden got her face on, and I told her we needed utensils because we didn't have utensils at the table, and, you know, she dropped the attitude eventually, but, you know, that kind of stuff is just unacceptable when you're dealing with the public. Like I said earlier, this person's problem or this person's concern or this person's safety or welfare or whatever it is the single most important thing to you at the time, because that is your job. I mean, come on, folks, customer service. You know, you call in, you ask for service, or you go places and you ask for service. You want service. You don't want people's bad days. You don't want people's gripes and complaints and moans. If you don't want the job, don't take the job. There's plenty of people out there who actually possess the skills and the talent to do the job correctly. Don't take them up from them. Go build model airplanes or do something where you don't have to deal with the public. Sit at your computer all day and gripe and complain and moan like I do. But there's plenty of people out there who are more than qualified for the job. In fact, I think that we ought to take it to the point where if you're going to be in one of those jobs, as part of the interview process, you have to pass some sort of customer service type test to where, you know, you have to just nail it. You can't, I mean, you could probably fool people, but they're going to know within about a week or two whether or not you're going to be a good customer service rep. So from now on, I say that customer service reps should just do their jobs and quit complaining and quit moping and quit griping, because first of all, I don't want to hear it. I didn't pick a job for you. You picked your job. Do your job. So that's my world. People who couldn't do customer service, they'd be kicked off. All right, that's my rant for customer service. We're going to go ahead and take the next 10 minutes and talk about why diets do not work for me. Now, I just attempted to go on a diet, and this diet, for lack of a better name, I call it the spicy cabbage soup diet, and I'm sure a lot of people call it the same name, because if you type it in the web as spicy cabbage soup diet, you'll get a lot of hits for it. But now, the whole basis of this weight loss plan is to rapidly lose weight that claims to make you lose 13 to 17 pounds in 7 days. And the whole basis of this diet is to eat nothing but cabbage soup and some other carefully picked fruits and vegetables. So here's how the basic scheme of it lays out. The cabbage soup which may not sound very appetizing, is actually a tad bit appetizing the first time you have it, and maybe the second time. But by the third and fourth time, once you realize that this cabbage soup is just about all you're going to eat for the next 7 days, it starts to lose its appeal. So on top of the soup, which is made of cabbage, carrots, celery, bell pepper, we used chicken broth instead of water, assorted spices, whatever you want to spice it with, like garlic and cayenne pepper, and we added fresh salsa, which isn't in the recipe, and I'm not sure if it was cheating or not. But anyway, so that's the cabbage soup. That's the basis of this thing. That's your whole meal for the day, supposedly. Now, on top of that, on the first day, you can eat all the fruit you want, but no bananas, and all the soup. Now, for drinks, they call for unsweetened tea, fruit juices with no sweetener, and water. Those are the only things you can drink, which, if you know me and you know my Pepsi addiction, you already know where that's taking me. And on the second day, you're supposed to eat vegetables, but no fruits. And you get to reward yourself at the end of the day with a baked potato and butter. But that's it, baked potato and butter. And of course, just like the rest of the days, all the soup you want. Third day, you eat vegetables and fruits, but you don't get a baked potato this day. They specifically instruct you, and you still can't have bananas. Day four becomes your day where you eat nothing but bananas and drink skim milk, and of course you can eat all the soup you want. So day five, you actually get to break out of the fruits and vegetable barrier a little bit and eat beef and tomatoes. So you get to at least have a steak and broiled or baked chicken instead of beef, but you know, you actually get beef that day and tomatoes. Day six, you get beef again, and this time you get vegetables. So, and every day they tell you to stuff yourself, okay? But my question was this at the end of the first day. How can you stuff yourself full of fruits? I mean, my girlfriend was constantly hungry, eating all the time. And me, you know, I'm always full anyways all the time. Sometimes it doesn't take a lot to fill me up. But I kept thinking to myself, I'm just eating fruit. This is ridiculous. And then, of course, now on the last day, you eat brown rice, and it keeps saying to stuff yourself on cabbage soup and brown rice. Well, I lasted for 2.5 days on this diet. And let me tell you something. When I first started and I was eating all the fruits, and day one really wasn't that bad of a day because it hadn't sunk in yet, the fact that, you know, I had 7 days of eating nothing but practically nothing but this soup. I'm not a big fan of cabbage in the first place. Never have been, and probably never will be. But at the same time, I mean, I made the soup, and it wasn't that bad, so I thought, well, okay, I can definitely stick with this. And I've gone a day without Pepsi before, so, I mean, obviously it seemed like I was going to be able to make a go of it. Now, my problem came in day two, when I started to eat vegetables. And I thought to myself, and then I started to try to have a second bowl of soup at lunch. And as I was getting through that bowl of soup, I realized to myself that I didn't like the soup anymore. And I certainly didn't want to eat it for another 5 more days on top of that. And the fact that I was only eating vegetables probably made the entire thing a whole lot worse. So, and then by then, I started to get a caffeine headache from lack of caffeine. So this is not recommended for those of you who are like me and can't really function without caffeine. Coffee drinkers, same difference. You're going to have that same urge for coffee. Now, they say you can have coffee. Some people say you can have coffee. I don't know. It doesn't say in this specific thing. But you're not allowed to have sweetener, or you're not allowed to have sugar either. So unless you like your coffee black, folks, this is definitely not the diet for you. In fact, I was reading a review on the cabbage soup diet, and from the people at chasefreedom.com, and they said this: the cabbage soup diet is based on a fat-burning soup that contains negligible calories. And at the end, it says this is not a nutritionally sound plan and certainly not one to live on. If you can't live on it, there doesn't seem to be much point in putting yourself back on the roller coaster of weight loss, frustration, and heartache. Yeah, so certainly, this is not a very glowing review, and I wish I'd have read that before I started, because it definitely was not doing very good for my body. I felt very weak. I felt very out-of-body experience type thing. You know, I was shaking a little bit, and I just didn't feel connected to anything. I sort of felt like, you know, just not with it. And I couldn't answer simple questions. You know, I felt like I was getting dumber by being on this diet, and maybe I was, because I was robbing myself of, like, several thousands of calories a day that I should have been eating. So what it really boiled down to for me, beyond the caffeine addiction and beyond the fact that I really felt like I needed Pepsi, but I got down to thinking about it, and I had to deny myself a donut at my uncle's house the other day. That, I think, was probably the turning point for me and really the low point. I looked at a donut, a chocolate-covered donut at my uncle's house, and he said, "Well, we bought this for you." And I told him, "Well, I can't do it because I'm on this diet." And he sort of cocked his head and looked at me, and I said, "Well, you know, I'm trying to discipline myself. I need to, you know, lose a few pounds. I'm not in shape like I was when I was in the Army. I feel like I'm just a little bit out of shape to the point where, you know, I don't feel healthy, and I'm trying to get healthy again. And mainly it's because I need discipline, because I haven't had much discipline since I left the Army." So that was my excuse and my rationalization for going on the diet. Well, you know, he accepted it and gave me a good pat on the back for having discipline. But in the end, I said, "It's a donut." I should have, looking back, I should have had the donut, because silly to deny yourself a food that, yeah, okay, it may have contained a bunch of calories and it would have broken the spirit of the diet, but it was a donut. And then I came home and I opened the freezer and I looked at several of the Klondike ice cream bars that I had bought a couple weeks ago. And I looked at them and I said to myself, "Why am I not eating these Klondike bars? This is fully ridiculous. I want food and I want it now." So I sort of just moped for the rest of that night because I really wanted to quit the diet, but I wasn't letting myself because I was trying to be stubborn and I was trying to stick with it and to lose weight and to do what I was going to say I was going to do. But come day three, I woke up in the morning and I just was not in a good mood. My headache had subsided a little bit from the caffeine withdrawal, but it started to come back a little bit toward the mid-afternoon, and I just decided it was just not going to work for me to do it, because I wasn't going to have vegetables for breakfast. So I had some fruit, and it just didn't work for me. I was eating fruit for breakfast, which is a healthy thing and a good thing, but I just knew that for the next 4 days, I was going to have to do exactly this. So I just decided that this was not going to work for me, and there was no way that I was going to keep going on this diet. I tried to keep talking myself into it. I tried to keep telling myself that I needed discipline and that I needed to be with it. But in the end, I decided that diet was not for me, and diets in general are just not for me. And I'm going to eat what I want and worry about the fact that I'm gaining a few pounds here and there later. Procrastinistic of me, sure. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be happy because I'm going to be eating what I want, and I will not be denying myself the pleasures of simple food. And I'm not good at fasting, I'm not good at dieting, and this is not for me, and I'm not going to do it. Of course, it also didn't help the fact that my girlfriend was on the same diet as I was, and I went to go pick her up from work and announced loudly and proudly, "I'm off the diet." So that sort of pushed me in the general direction also, and I figured, well, if it's good enough for her to get off of it, I'm certainly going to get off of it too. So that was my fun way of rationalizing not being on the diet anymore to myself. Well, my 20 minutes are up, so that means it is time for me to go. Remember, everybody, the cosmos is huge and we are only small, but on Planet Rod, you are all important. Good night, and thank you all for listening.